a lot of you listening to this, you may remember back in the 1980s, Ed McMahon and Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes. Remember when Ed McMahon, he would show up at people's doors with big checks, big winning checks. Like, oh, you won, you know, $500,000, which was a lot of money in the 80s. And it was all, you always saw Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes and, you know, big checks, and you would get their stuff in the mail, and it said you might win if you subscribe to all these magazines and whatever. Well, that memory, according to today's official records, is a false memory. That Ed McMahon never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes, never delivered checks to people. None of that ever happened. And people who do believe that that happened are suffering under, well, what we can now call the Mandela effect. Have you heard of that? The Mandela effect. It's when a large number of people share a memory, often involving a brand or something from childhood, TV commercials, breakfast cereals, things like that, or jingles, slogans, corporate logos, all kinds of things. People share those memories, and then it turns out those memories are, at least according to today's information, completely false memories. Now, some people believe that, and by the way, they call these memories residue. This is coming from some people who are experts in the Mandela effect. And by the way, we're trying to find a Mandela effect expert to have on and do an interview about this. So if you know somebody, suggest them to us. You can email situationupdate@protonmail.com and we'll check it out. But according to these experts, this residue of the memory of the past isn't actually false. They say it comes from an alternate reality, and that our reality has been altered now in a way that retroactively changes the past to be different from the past that we actually experience, those of us who have these memories. Okay, that's the theory. Sounds kind of Twilight Zone, but it's a fascinating theory. I'd love to interview somebody about this and see how this is all explained. But there are many very compelling examples of this. For example, the Fruit of the Loom logo. And many of us remember growing up, Fruit of the Loom underwear, both men and women's underwear, and Fruit of the Loom t-shirts and what have you, you know, just kind of simple clothing. And many of us remember the logo had grapes and fruit coming out of a cornucopia, you know, like a horn o' plenty, like a basket, a funnel-shaped basket with fruit spilling out. That's what we remember the logo was, Fruit of the Loom. And it turns out that according to the Fruit of the Loom company, that's never been part of their logo. There's never been a cornucopia, never happened, never existed. It's always just been grapes, which makes no sense whatsoever. And some people have memories of the cornucopia that are so distinct, so real, because we're all trying to figure out, what does the name Fruit of the Loom even mean? Because when you're a kid, you're like, this is underwear and it's talking about fruit. And something called a loom. We don't even know what a loom is when you're a kid, because nobody grew up around looms, not in the modern age. And so a lot of kids thought that the loom was the cornucopia thing. They thought the basket was the loom. They're like, hey, the grapes coming out of the basket, Fruit of the Loom. So they distinctly remember the loom was the cornucopia. And then today we're told never was a cornucopia. A lot of people are freaking out. And there are many, many examples of this. For example, the breakfast cereal that you and I may have eaten as kids called Captain Crunch. It was never Captain Crunch. It was only ever Cap'n, C-A-P-N, Cap'n Crunch. There was never a Captain. Did you know that? Did you ever eat that stuff? We all did, I think, as kids, like Lucky Charms and like Cocoa Puffs and whatever, you know, because that's what was advertised on TV. Anyway, I am convinced that we're now observing a Mandela effect reality bending exercise taking place in real time, because I have been informed by people who watch a lot of shows that in today's shows on Netflix or Amazon or wherever, movies, TV shows, whatever, that literally in every show, I'm told, I haven't been able to watch every show, I haven't verified it, but I'm told that in every show, if there's any character that is a character of authority, such as a police captain, a police chief, the lead investigator, whatever, This person is always depicted as a powerful black woman today, and that the black woman is in charge of usually a group of white guys who are lower in capability, lower in IQ, you know, subservient to the black woman. And, you know, I find this fascinating because for me, you know, I like a meritocracy, right? I don't care what color somebody is. If they're the best qualified, they get the job. That's great. Could be a white person, could be a black person, could be an Asian person, could be Hispanic, what have you. It's all good. Could be a woman, could be a man. Doesn't matter to me. Could be gay, could be straight. Doesn't matter to me. Just, you know, don't bring your leather dog woof woof outfit to the office. Leave that stuff at home. That's all I'm saying. But every show has, for some reason, the position of power, a judge. It's always a black woman for some reason. Not that there aren't female black judges. It's just that it's odd that it's every single show. And then the other thing that I've been told is that every new show has a biracial couple for some reason, a biracial couple. There is a, you know, a black wife and a white husband, or a black husband and a white wife. And for some reason, it's always black and white. It's never like a white and Asian couple, or a black and Asian, or a white and Hispanic. It's a black and white couple in every show for some reason. I don't know why. And I'm not opposed to couples that are black or white or Hispanic or whatever, right? But why is this pattern appearing in every show? And then also, why are all white men in these shows now depicted as incompetent, stupid, bumbling idiots who must be led by strong women? I did see a show recently with, Matthew Fox. I forgot the name of it. It's a show about like all the oil supply in the world gets contaminated with bacteria. And it's a pretty interesting show. But once again, in the show, Matthew Fox, the man, plays kind of this, he can't defend himself. He doesn't know how to shoot a gun. But there's this strong woman who, by the way, is some kind of crazy Brazilian jiu-jitsu expert also, and a markswoman, like marksman. She's good with guns. She can fight. She can take down bad guys. And she's always telling the man where to go, like, stay behind, get down, follow me, get in the car. Like, the woman is ordering the man around all the time, which, again, yeah, I know there are some pretty hardcore combat women who might be exactly like that. But isn't it odd that this is in every show like this, where the men can't fight? Have you noticed that? The men can't fight. And these women are depicted with like 18-inch waists. And, you know, they have very tiny waists and very big breasts, and they look like supermodels, and somehow they're combat experts, and they are expert fighters, and they all know arm bars now for some reason. They can break the arms. They leap up to the shoulders of the man they're trying to take down, and they roll him over on the floor, and they break his arm. And while the male character is standing by unconscious or something. And apparently this pattern is in every show. And again, I know there are very effective fighting women and self-defense training and so on, which I have advocated for women, by the way. It's just that it's odd that it's in every show. And what I think we're watching, folks, is a Mandela effect being rolled out in real time, where someday soon you will be told that men could never fight. There were never strong male characters. Men never carried the guns. It was always women. And you'll have this memory of, no, wait, I remember, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Rambo and Sylvester Stallone and, you know, all these strong male Rambo-like characters, right? I remember that. And you'll be told, no, that never happened. It was always women. And then you'll go online, you'll search Google or something, like, wait a second, Rambo 1, First Blood, and you pull it up, it'll be a woman. It'll be like Sylvia Stallone or something, right? It'll be an Italian woman with big breasts and a tiny waist with a giant knife carrying an M60 from the Vietnam War. And you'll be told, no, Sylvester Stallone never did that. It was a woman the whole time. And this brainwashing, which in many ways is an anti-white, very racist type of brainwashing, is also taking place in the schools. So here's a story from HeadlineUSA.com. California public high school teaches that white heterosexual Christians are fascists. That's right. An English teacher from Madison High School in San Diego gave a lesson on fascism in which he partially defined fascists as, quote, whites, heterosexuals, and Christians. So, and you're seeing this happening in certain sectors of education and media where they're saying, quote, cisgendered people, which are men who realize they're men and women who realize they're women, or heterosexuals, which is, you know, normal couples, men and women getting together. They're going to say, or they're increasingly saying, no, that's extremism. That is fascism. That is abnormal. And what they're essentially saying is that to be normal is to be gay or lesbian or transgender, but to be heterosexual or cisgendered is completely abnormal. This is all part of a Mandela effect being rolled out in real time, where, again, a lot of children growing up today, they might remember a time when men and women got together and had families, but then by the time they're 50 years old, looking back, the whole thing will have changed. We'll say, oh, there were never men and women that made babies. How could you think that? Women and women have babies, or men and men have babies, or babies are made in a lab. And they're using media to shape people's reality. So you know that all the script writers that work for Hollywood or Netflix, they're all given orders. Like, you're going to put, you know, a powerful black woman in charge and a bunch of subservient white people to answer to her. Or you're going to put a biracial couple in every show, no matter what. They're just going to be a biracial couple. Again, not that there's anything wrong with that. I don't care what race somebody is. It's just odd that they want this depicted in every single show. Or they have command. You're gonna mock people who are heterosexuals. You're gonna depict all men as weak wimps who are useless and who are intellectually inferior and so on. And because of these depictions, this is turning out to be reflected in people's beliefs in society. And I think the Daily Wire did a story on this survey. I forgot all the details, but it was that liberals now believe that white people are intellectually inferior to black people, and that white people are more violent than black people. And there was something else, I forgot what it was, but something along those lines. And it is fascinating that racism, you know, anti-white racism even, can be brainwashed into the population so effectively through media. But this is part of the culture war on reality, where you also see the history of science or the history of mathematics under attack by the universities because they're saying, well, there's too many white men in the history of, you know, philosophy. Got to get rid of Plato, Hippocrates, and what have you. And of course, by today's standards, I mean, frankly, Plato wouldn't be a, quote, white person. Wouldn't he be like a modern day Greek immigrant or something? I mean, wouldn't he be an immigrant from that region? I don't know what nationality did Plato consider himself to be, but he would be an immigrant by today's standards. So, you know, is that the same as just being, quote, white? I mean, it's all weird and twisted, but they're changing things in real time to mess with your mind. And at the same time, the whole world is going digital, so they can carry out the Ministry of Truth edits of your reality in real time because there's nothing on paper anymore. Who's buying physical books anymore? Almost no one. Who's getting physical bank statements anymore? You're just getting digital bank statements and digital books and digital news. And you've got, you know, bookmarks in your browser of interesting articles, but you go back to those articles, they can change them. You didn't actually save the article. You just saved the URL to the article, but they can change that article anytime, you know, stealth edits at the New York Times and so on. So they're changing your reality in real time digitally and also through media and movies and culture in order to make people forget the reality they grew up in. So don't be so shocked about Fruit of the Loom and the missing cornucopia, because folks, they're changing your reality right now, every single day. And a lot of these changes are designed as weapons, for example, to turn people against each other, to promote racism, you know, to promote ultimately violence or distrust, like that school teacher saying that heterosexuals or Christians are fascists, or that white people are fascists. Just by being white, you're labeled a fascist. And you do see this a lot from many angry young black people today who they like to run hate hoaxes against themselves, by the way. Like that BYU volleyball player recently who claimed that every time she served the volleyball, that she said some white guy in the audience yelled the N-word, like with every serve, like N-word, N-word. And turns out it was all made up because they had video. The guy didn't do it at all. BYU apologized. I'm not sure if she played for BYU or if they were visiting or what. I don't recall her name or what university, but you're probably familiar with the story. So an investigation revealed that the guy wasn't yelling the N-word, even though he was banned immediately, because the mere accusation from the black volleyball player, the female black volleyball player, she said, oh, I heard the N-word. Boom, the guy's banned instantly. And then the investigation finds out, no, you made it all up. So my question is, why isn't this volleyball player being banned? Because a false accusation of a hate crime should get you banned, shouldn't it? And also, by the way, if you're actually yelling the N-word, you should be banned from the volleyball court as well. But this guy didn't yell the N-word, so shouldn't we ban the false accuser at this point? But will she be banned? Will she be dropped from the team for falsely accusing somebody of a race-based hate crime? No, absolutely not. She will not be dropped because a black woman in America today can make an unlimited number of accusations against completely innocent people. And when those accusations don't stick, the whole issue just gets dropped. Oh, well, turns out it was nothing. Move along. But wait a second. Shouldn't it be a crime to accuse anybody else falsely of a hate crime, whether you're black or white or any skin color? It's wrong in every case. So folks, pay special attention to guard your consciousness, to guard your mind, because the establishment is playing mind games with you constantly. They're trying to warp your perception, warp your memories, even to warp your reality. And the best way to navigate this, by the way, is to resist ever being provoked into hating anyone based on race or skin color or gender or anything like that. That way the system can't manipulate you into hating certain targeted groups, because the system will just change those groups, you know, from generation to generation. At one point in history, black people were depicted as all the violent criminals in all the movies, right? That was the way it was. And all the heroes were white people. Well, now that's flipped upside down. Now all the heroes are not white men. White men are depicted as the idiots and the lunatics and the incompetent people. So it's like musical chairs. The establishment will go after different races in different eras, but everybody is going to be targeted with a weaponization of culture at one time or another. In one decade, it might be Hispanics. Another decade, it might be Asians. Another decade, it was Muslims, right? After 9/11, it was all Muslims. Like, being a Muslim was the worst thing in America at that time. Well, it was targeted by design. Now, being a straight white man is the worst thing in America. Believe me, that baton is going to get handed off to somebody else at some point. And the next target's going to be, I don't know, Koreans or somebody. They're going to pick somebody, trust me, because they have to keep the hate going. So if you just decide not to hate people based on their skin color or their ethnicity or their religion, then you will not be able to be exploited by the system. That's my take on the subject matter. So thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com.